Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is your moment. Your time to shine. Your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Motherfucking mini-episode. Mini-episode. Motherfucking mini-episode.
Now, son, man to man, we both know the game, and you know all about heartache and pain. This is my goddaughter, and I'm just trying to protect her heart. You may have been a moon to her, but to me, she's the star.
Okay.
Welcome, little mamas, Gentiles alike, to another phenomenal episode of My Mama Told Me,
the podcast where we dive deep, deep into the pockets of Black conspiracy theories.
And we finally work to prove the conspiracy theories of you, the listeners. It's a motherfucking mini episode.
Motherfucking mini episode and gorgeous singing, by the way. I don't want that to go unrecognized.
I had to let it be done. I mean, that's a big Chicago hit, right? You guys love that song?
Well, I think nobody's allowed to love that song anymore publicly, but certainly.
Well, listen, that's a Kelly Price song.
Okay. First of all, that's an interpretation. Yeah.
What do you mean? It is a Kelly Price song.
It's technically a Kelly Price song. You're right.
It is. He says 7 words in the song. It's a Kelly Price, Ronald Isley song.
Fair enough.
Come on. Let's not let that filthy man taint Kelly Price's beautiful legacy.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's fair that R. Kelly gets to ruin music across the board. And I think we're going to, and maybe this is worth talking about now, we're going to be forced into the same conversation shortly with Diddy. Puffy's shit is going to become complicated in a similar way, I imagine. And we're going to have to wrestle whether or not, like, Ready to Die is now a problematic
listen. The whole album?
That's what I'm saying.
I'm still playing I Need a Girl, and I'm still playing More Money, More Problems. You can take the rest of the catalog from me. I won't ever listen to Victory again, but come on.
I think I need Bad Boys for Life as well.
That
amped me up as a seventh grader in a way that I'm not sure I'll ever be amped up.
It was a good feeling. Don't worry if I write rhymes. I write checks.
And then it's like, that wasn't even cool back then to admit that other people worked for it. You know what I mean? And we were like,
no, it sucked. And we were still like, yeah. And the video was good. And I Need a Girl is just like, perfect. I think we're of the age we all wanted to be those men.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Who didn't want to be Loon?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who else was on the
Mario Winans? You goddamn right I wanted to be Mario Winans.
There was a minute where he really could have done it. I don't know what happened, but man, Mario Winans had a shot.
Yeah, he was in that Bad Boy camp, and Bad Boy was thriving in a way that nobody had thrived in a minute. Yeah, he could have made something of himself.
You remember that Why Would You Want to Break Up song?
Mm-hmm. I do.
That was so with Gucci Mane?
Yeah, I do remember
this
that.
One, that's 51 coming. Yeah, I hope he's doing okay, man. Not Gucci. He's clearly amazing.
Yeah, Gucci's fine. And Mario Winans, hey, you pump good gas, my man. And
come on, man. Come on. I think he made money at a time where, like, he for sure bought a house off all that.
I think so. And I believe he is, in fact, heir of the actual Winans dynasty.
Dynasty, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think that he's going to be without. I think he just may not, you know, it may not all come from his contributions at all times.
Are BB and CC his aunts?
Well, I think CC is. BB, I'm assuming, uncle, dad, I don't know.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah. Do you remember Winans Phase 2?
No, I don't even know what that is.
So, oh, thank God. So there was, and I want to say this before I even tell you about it, but they meant the fucking world to me. I cannot
emphasize.
Phase 2 was a group of cousins who were like under the BBCC that tier. So those were their aunts and uncles and parents and shit. But it was okay. Just like all the sons of the various Winans who came together and made a like Christian R&B group called Winans Phase 2. And their album was fucking great. Like, I shit you not, was like, and it played on some like kind of sexy music, but for Jesus. It was cool, man. I really liked that music when I was
A boy. I'm looking at the cover. It looks sexy.
It's really sexy, but they're singing
We
about
Got Next
God.
Is the album.
Yeah.
It's All Right. Who Do You Love? Real Love. Come On Over. These are sex songs.
But they're not. Come On Over is about getting baptized.
Oh, this one's called Thank You, Lord. Every Day Away. This is wild.
Every Day Away was my jam, dog. I used to go crazy for Every Day Away.
Well, if this podcast blows up, hopefully we get you a Winans on here.
Okay, come on, man. Give me all, what was it, five of them? Give me all five of Winans.
Four of
Phase
them.
Two. Four. Well,
classic kids R&B group where the little one looks too little and the old one looks too old.
That's right. Yeah.
Which I love that. Like about like So For Real, where like the one dude was like 26.
Yeah.
He was like a 12-year-old. Like they shouldn't have been hanging out.
Marlon and Jackie ain't got nothing to talk about.
Nope. They have sex. They like having sex with women.
This thing is playing with cars while he getting... Yeah. He got whores lined up outside of his hotel room.
I'm on the radio. It's 1972. I don't give a fuck about Michael. I bet you they hated him. I bet you they hated he even had to be in the hotel room.
He probably fucked up a lot of good pussy for that.
Oh, you don't think that little weirdo was scaring the hoes away?
Yeah.
I got this pet rat.
They like her sitting on the couch and she sits down. He's like, ouch, you're hurting me. And it's like, oh, fucking Michael. Oh, my. Get the fuck out of here, Michael.
Yeah, get this thing out of here.
When your elbow hit my elbow, it hurt.
He's trying to sing. Shut the fuck up!
And that's the thing. He's so good at singing. They're gonna watch.
But the girls, it's a free Michael Jackson concert. Of course they want to hear it.
But you're not gonna like get horny afterwards. You're just like, damn, I watched Michael Jackson sing. I don't really want to fuck Tito anymore.
Yeah, because he's singing the fucking song from the Ben soundtrack, the fucking rat movie. We both found what we were looking for. I put his head through the wall. They were probably bad Big Brothers, because like that's like at that age, and then you got, I bet you was fucked up.
Yeah, they were abused. They were then probably taking that abuse out on the younger siblings. It could not hurt people. It could not have been a happy household in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, like before he developed a business acumen, he was for sure the weak one. They probably didn't even know he was going to get richer than them.
No.
And he was like, I'll show you. I'll show them all.
Yeah, I bet there was like a period, because, you know, Jermaine was sort of like the number two, and
right.
and his voice was often featured on songs too. I bet there was a long period where Jermaine was like, yeah, Michael's the lead singer now because he's got that cute little like thing mm-hmm. happening. But when we both get grown man voices, I'm going to be the star. And yeah, I bet Jack, you know, I bet like fucking Joe was in his ear, like, you'll get your shine. You just gotta wait. Yeah, you gotta wait your turn, kind of thing.
Yeah, damn. Nobody talks about, and also, here's what I think about, and then we'll get to our email. Nobody talks about, you don't think Tito felt the brunt of those jokes?
I think.
Everybody made fun of Tito because his name was Tito. You just sound like the backup in your own family.
Here's what I'll say, though. I think that Tito, of all of them, probably is doing the best, like just right as now? A human being. And I wonder if maybe that's what kept him grounded. Was everybody
making fun of him?
Being the butt of every joke in this sort of like Michael Jackson fiasco made it so that Tito don't really like act up. He don't have no issues. You never hear about Tito doing nothing wrong.
That's true. You don't think he wants to like beat up the Wayans brothers, though?
For making fun of him all those years?
They leaned hard on that show.
Yeah.
It was a lot of, you Tito jokes. You know what I mean?
It was like their number two go-to bit.
Yeah, it was pretty high up.
You know who I think wants to fight them is, I bet Scottie Pippen every time that meme of Marlon Presnell's face against the glass and saying, I'm Scottie Pippen.
I also, you know who else I bet wants to fight them? Is he even still alive? He might be dead. Shabba Ranks?
Oh, yeah, they did.
Mr. Ugly Man is hilarious.
In Living Color went crazy hard at him.
That fucking, oh my God. Mr. Ugly Man!
Shabba!
Oh, fuck, it's so fun. I'm gonna watch it after this. It's so good.
It's not even clever.
It's not at all. It's not at all. Even the verses is like, my face so dark, it make me look ugly. And then, like, I think he was drooling at some point.
Yeah, it's not high concept. It's not thought out. It's just being mean to an adult.
And I'd be lying if I said I didn't like it as much as the original.
It might have been my favorite In Living Color sketch when I was a kid.
Dude, it's up there. Because Fire Marshal Bill really scared me.
Yeah, he made me uncomfortable, and Homie did too, if I'm being honest with you. There was like where Homie was funny to me, and then there was a period where I was like, oh man, he's like kind of bad to kids. He's like mean. I don't think he would like me. I don't like that.
I've learned this term because of social media. I have a core memory. I remember like playing with toy cars sitting on the floor. Because you remember how kids used to always have to sit on the floor? Do kids still sit on the floor all the time?
My daughter has a very small chair.
That's nice.
That's like cushioned, but it is on the floor, but it's like, you know what I mean? It's sort of like a dog bed, if you will, for a baby.
Well, you said it. I always sat on the floor.
Yeah, me too.
But I have a core memory of sitting on the floor. I was playing with like cars or something like that, and looking up at the TV, which we had a black and white TV, now I remember, for way too long.
Yeah.
We had the black and white where you had to, like, it had the two dials.
Oh, you remember? One for turning the channels and one for turning the volume?
I think it was like a double channel thing, like VHF, UHF, some shit like that. It had two clicky dials.
Yeah.
And we were watching that TV, and I remember looking up and seeing Fire Marshal Bill put his hand into the meat grinder and getting like, I might have started crying, but I remember being really scared.
Yeah, it was, he did some fucked up shit.
He's a burn victim. That's fucked. Anyways,
Should we get to an email?
Shout out to all the burn victims. I don't mean that.
One time for the burn victims.
Yeah.
We're big fans.
All right. This email is from Allison. Thank you, Allison.
Yeah.
It says, "Hi, Langston. Proud little mama of Asian descent here."
Okay.
You know, we're getting a lot of emails where people say their race within the first.
Yeah. Which I think is, I guess it's fair. We kind of like called them out to be like, hey, some of y'all sound like you ain't what your conversation is about. So yeah, they're just like, hey, before you fuck with me, just know I'm Asian off top anyway.
And we're fans of Asians here.
We're fans of Asians. Acknowledge David next time, but
yeah,
for
no,
sure.
No, she said hi. She said David first.
Oh, I thought she said hi, David. Hi, Langston. I didn't hear the David part.
Damn.
Yeah, I ignored. I
think that's a bit of a tell.
main character syndrome for one, please.
All right. Hi, David and Ann Langston. Proud little mama of Asian descent here. Thank you. In the recent mini episode, when you gave your disclaimer to your Chinese little mamas, followed by Jay Sean's email titled "Watch Your Pops," the first thing I thought about was soda pop. Because when I was a little girl growing up in the 90s, another little girl in my neighborhood who's black would say to me, "Oh no, me Chinese, me play joke, me go pee pee in your coke."
Sure.
While pulling back her eyes to make them squinty.
Fuck.
Who amongst us?
Go ahead, finish your thought.
I'm just saying, we were kids and shit rhymed. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't know where the origins of Chinese pee-pee in a Coke even came from, I don't think.
I don't really know what it means still.
I assume that they're just like not behaving correctly with soda pop, but like even then it doesn't really make sense or really say anything about the race. It just
is, no, not at all.
It's just shitty. It's just kids being like shitty, right, in a general sense. Kids are,
and the problem with it, I think for me, the reason I said it so much was like, I just think it's funny to go pee-pee in your Coke. And now, if I'm really unpacking this truthfully, when I would say it, I was saying it not to offend Chinese people, but because I wanted to pee-pee in your Coke. Does that
you
make sense?
You wanted to be the quote-unquote Chinese person pee-peeing in the Coke.
Yeah. I didn't look at it as a slander towards them as much as I thought, oh, these people got good pranks.
Right. They're a silly bunch. And I'd like to be a part of that.
It's funny because you couldn't see it in the Coke. It's not like a Sprite where you could tell. Mm.
Yeah. I maybe that's part of where it is, too, is like it's a stereotype about Asian people being like tricksters and sort of.
Is that? I'm glad that this came up because I truly had never unpacked it before. But it is interesting. Yeah, whenever I did that, I never thought about it as downing. I never thought about it as downing Chinese people. I thought about it as, fuck you, I'm going to pee in your Coke.
My guess is that the Chinese people felt differently about it.
Of course they did. It's very terrible. It's like a not good thing. Allison goes on to
they
say,
were like, oh, you want to be like me? Okay. Yeah.
They're like, I could tell. Well, but also, I don't think I was ever saying it to Chinese people.
Yeah. No, good.
So she says, I wasn't offended by her. We grew up in a predominantly white neighborhood, so there were other things to be more offended about. Facts. Like what everybody else called that little black girl. Anyways.
That's very mature of you and also very real of you to acknowledge.
You're a good one, Allison.
Yeah.
A good person, not Asian. They're all good. Or bad. They contain layers.
Multitudes is really what you are. You are multitudes.
You are multitudes. Anyways, my mama told me that the darker the skin, the easier they are to deal with in business.
Whoa. That's a left turn, Allison.
I'm in. My mom, a foreign-born Taiwanese woman who owned a business here in the U.S., would complain about her white clients being the most difficult to deal with, while her black clients were the easiest to deal with. Her favorite clients were black people and Filipino people. Same. Despite this, she was still pretty racist against dark black people. Multitudes. She didn't like me playing with black kids in my neighborhood growing up, would clutch her purse around black people, etc. Not sure how much research you can do around this, but here you go. And then there's a P.S. I saw David's show in Seattle earlier this year. Towards the end of your set, you talked about how white women doing witchcraft is bullshit, and I LOL'd real hard. When the set ended and the lights came up, I stood up to leave and turn around, and there was this super angry-looking white woman still sitting with her arms crossed and a humph face, and I laughed inside my head at her. You offended some crystal-healing bitch. LOL, love the show. Thanks, A.
Damn.
Delightful email all around. Also, yes, my favorite part about that joke. I love it. Because you see him, it's like towards the end of the set too, and you see him turn off and not come back. It's like amazing.
Oh, where they just can't keep having fun because
they don't like it anymore because I said that their little magic is stupid.
It really cut to the core of them in a way that they
it hurts them bad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't get to be a white lady and a witch. Sorry, stupid idiot.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
We're calling upon you because we have new merch. We have very exciting merch that we are now selling, and it's fucking great. We love it so much.
It's sleek. It's sexy.
Come on. You want to tell them what we have?
Yeah, we have 3 different types of hats, which is really fun. We have a 2-tone hat. An alien dad hat, the traditional logo in black and khaki. Then we have the enamel pin with the alien who has a koofy on it. It says, "My mama told me." And then we have t-shirts that say, "Proud little mama," which is who you are.
Yeah, you can buy the merch now. Go to mymamatoldme.merchtable.com. It's a brand new name, but it's the same old merch. And we would love for you to get some if you haven't got it already. And we want you to have all the sweet stuff. So get it.
How do you feel about this?
I will say that at the first line, the byline of the theory, I felt nervous that it was implying when she was saying dark-skinned people are easier to deal with, it meant like not as bright or not as like cunning in their business comings and goings.
Easier to put pee-pee in their coat.
Yes, I thought the implication was something more, I guess, offensive, frankly, and that made me go, I don't know about this. But I do think if I look back on it more, which I think the intention of what Allison is saying is very much real, that she's like, look, my mom was saying I enjoyed doing business with them more and felt like it was more effective business workings with darker skinned people. That to me actually rings somewhat true. I think that, like, in general, the instinct is to get the work done and sort of like in a more like reasonable, peaceful manner as it comes to like business, especially with Black business owners, because everybody wants to be cool and like not seem like an asshole. Whereas I think white business is built on the idea that like to be at the top, you must be a dick.
I feel like it depends on the industry. To be completely honest.
Say examples.
Was she in a service industry job? Was she selling insurance? Did she own a restaurant? Like, what was the job? Because I feel like in most things, yes, I would tend to agree with this because of that. Like, I think about like every job you ever had. You have like an old Black man or woman who hates it there, truly despises the system, talks shit to everyone, but you can't say anything because they're the best at the job type shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I do think sometimes in the service industry particular, I've gone to some, it's like, oh boy, when he went to Atlanta and he was like, these niggas ripping you guys off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so I've overpaid for Black services sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think of it less in terms of like the service that the customer is receiving when I say all of this.
Oh, the business end?
I think business person is what she's referring to, not necessarily like customer service, because I do agree. I've never had like great service in Atlanta. It's always like I've had to go back and forth like four times this month alone, or like and literally every time the car service is like a driver texting me like, hey, just come outside. I'll just keep circling around. You come outside when you got your bag, instead of like doing it the way it, you know what I mean? That like they are told to be done kind of thing.
I went to a rapper's rib establishment and it took like, it was takeout and I had to wait online for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, no, that's like, nuts.
Man, this is not how it goes at Noodles and Company.
No, it's not. And in any other circumstances, y'all would not accept this.
And the food was fire.
Yeah.
But it was expensive as shit too. And I was just like, damn.
For an hour and a half for takeout.
And not even like, yeah, for takeout. Like, it was just a little, you just sitting there. You know what I mean?
That's nuts.
Maybe it's just food specifically that I feel like maybe we fall short. Because other than that, you know what I mean? I love my Black doctor.
Barbers always do that thing.
Come on.
Yeah.
Really? Because I try to patronize Black people in anything that I can. And the more that I think about it, it is like food is where it tends to fall short over everything, which is crazy because I think it's one of our best exports.
I think it is a skill that we have mastered more than most. And I think because of that, there's a casualness to the culture around food. Right, because our food is our home food, and therefore you sort of like bring your home ass energy into the business, and those aren't always good combinations. You know what I mean? Like, it's right. A lot of like aunties and uncles sort of in charge, and you don't want your aunties and uncles in charge of businesses.
Right. I think that's reasonable. So yeah, but I mean, business wise, otherwise, I mean, I think even within, maybe now that I'm thinking about it, maybe more in entertainment, it's kind of a mixed bag too. I guess I feel like we contain multitudes.
I think we contain multitudes.
I think it's like sometimes it's great. I think there are some grifters out there as there are tons of white people who are not great to do business with.
Yeah, but again, I think if we remove ourselves as customers from the conversation, I imagine just the ease of the business, it might be more likely to be an easy experience with a darker skinned person than it is a white person who, like, you know, it's the Wolf of Wall Street shit where you're like, truly, you're trained to admire like killers and fucking sociopaths in these business situations that it's just not how we're brought up. You know what I mean? Like, it's part of the reason Diddy sort of became such a, we're talking a lot about Diddy today, but it is part of the reason he became like sort of like this iconic black mogul is because he made being an asshole look cool to black people for the first time. And I don't know that we had a lot of examples of that before him.
That's interesting.
Like, we didn't know Russell Simmons was a piece of shit when he was at his height.
I feel like maybe not just Diddy. I feel like the hip hop mogul in general. I think before that, to be successful in black business, you did have to have a level of, I'm doing this for the community.
Yeah, even Berry Gordy,
right?
Like we thought he was not, we knew stuff about him, but we thought his main goal was still the uplifting of the people around him. Like, there was sort of like this civil rights tint on top of everything that he was doing.
Right. It wasn't just like, fuck you, I get money.
Yeah, and the hip-hop mogul truly was just like, fuck you, I get money. There is no other part of this.
Right. And that's not, and I don't think that's blanket statement to all hip-hop moguls or anything like that, but I do think the general tone and what it meant to run a black business had changed.
Yes. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And I think that was kind of the advent of that, was like the Bad Boy Records, Death Row type era.
But on the flip, the Koch brothers have always been that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Ford was built on that premise of, fuck you, I get money. They have their proprieties where they pretend like that's not the case, but it very much is built into the systems that they've laid in front of us. And so I imagine when you're dealing with a white business owner, there is sort of a fuck you, I get money ass approach to every conversation. Whereas black people are a little more like, hey, I'm just trying to keep my sweet business afloat ass energy.
I guess because sometimes when dealing with white people in general, they don't seem to be community based in the same way.
They don't have to be.
Right. Which is, I mean, to me, it always rings sad. Like, damn, it's just you.
Yeah. You think they're sad about it?
I don't think they know any different, but I do think that statement, all things come out in the wash, I think that they are a lonelier group because they don't have a large, like, even when people are like, I'm white, blah, 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 I don't know how well they do tap into that and feel that, but maybe they do. But to me, there always seems to be a tinge of loneliness to their endeavors. Yeah. But I don't know. I really don't, man, I don't know what the fuck they think. Yeah. That's not what this podcast is about, brother.
Surely not. Well, Allison, I hope that this answers your question. I'm not sure that we are the best people to be answering this question, as neither of us really runs a business, especially not a successful one, Allison.
I mean, we have loan outs, right? You own a corporation.
Both are corporations, I guess, but that means nothing other than just figuring out ways around tax.
Yeah, I think problems. It's truly a scam.
Oh, we are being scammed. We get paid in large lump sums that then get cut.
Whoa, relax.
No, we get paid in briefcases full of cash.
All right,
that get cut in half, and then cut in another 25 because of people who are employed and we're not always sure what they're doing. And so, it becomes complicated for us to just pay taxes the same way that other people pay taxes.
I just want a refund. I want to feel that in February again. That Come used on. To be the best time of year for me.
February?
When the tax check came in? Come on.
Yeah.
Remember how good that felt?
Yeah. I've always, and this is probably the wrong instinct, I've always not looked
at the
number that's coming, just so I could be like surprised by the number. Like so I could
Oh, like when you did TurboTax, you didn't look?
I didn't want to like dig too deep into the specifics because I wanted to let the check be like, you're welcome. Yay.
Oh, I needed to know exactly how many pairs of shoes I could have in my East Bay shopping cart online.
Sure.
Or wherever I was buying shoes. I had a fake Jordans period or in the early aughts that was not great. I was on it early though. I was buying them from China before most people were doing that.
And shout out to East Bay. RIP, East Bay.
Yeah, man.
You served me fucking well.
Come on.
Throughout my youth. I probably bought one thing out of that magazine.
I was just going to say, it was an aspirational magazine. It was like reading Forbes for young tweens.
Me and my boys, during lunchtime, we used to just sit
Come
there.
Come on.
Just looking at East Bay together and talking about what we was finna get. We knew goddamn well we wouldn't get them shoes.
I remember asking people, did you get the new East Bay?
Yeah.
Because goddamn, I don't know how they did it, but they had all our addresses.
Dog, I was so excited when that new East Bay dropped.
Come on. Oh, especially the summer one, before school started. You had all these plans. I never bought anything in East Bay. I should get an East Bay. Man, if I got an East Bay now. It's like, you ever go to like a video arcade as an adult and spend too much money? That would be me in East Bay. I would get all kinds of shit.
Yeah, you're going to have to go to a vintage shop to get an East Bay magazine and just pretend to be able to order stuff. They're kaput. They're done. You know what I always wanted was those moon shoes out of there. I wanted those. You remember the shoes?
Oh, the plyometric shoes?
Yeah, that had the big circle at the front of them, and they were going to help you jump higher as you walked on your tiptoes.
Yeah, I do remember those. They looked crazy. And there was no heel, so you had to stay on the toe, right?
You had to stay on your tiptoes, and I wanted those. Yeah. I wanted Jays. I wanted the Tim Hardaways. I wanted the Gary Paytons. There were a bunch of shoes that came in that magazine that I remember distinctly, but those fucking shoes, I was like, that might be the difference maker. I'm going to dunk by 11th grade or whatever I thought.
That's how I felt about all their accessories. I was like, okay, if this season I can get the cold gear with these cleats with my name on them, the cold weather Nike gloves, you know what I mean? If I could get all this, if I could get all this shit, there's no way I don't go at least D2.
It's wild.
Didn't work that way. But, you know, shout out to the East Bay family. I hope you guys are doing well.
Yeah, we're thinking about you. Yeah. Always.
Odd tones to this episode. It really went a lot of places.
Yeah, it took a lot of turns. We started with a light nostalgic racism about the Chinese and found our way to the East Bay catalog. And who knows where we'll go next week. It's truly chaotic, I think, every single time, and I love it.
Yeah, tune in and subscribe. I'm losing steam at the end here. I feel like when we go, it's like busting a nut when we get too serious. I need like a recovery time.
I got you. Yeah, I'm asking too much of you to go rounds.
Yeah, don't touch me for a minute. I'll be back. I just 5 minutes, don't touch me.
Do you want to tell the people while you're coming yourself, do you want to tell the people where they can find you and what cool shit you have going on?
Cool guy jokes 87 on Instagram. Hey y'all, if you live in the Denver area, I'm putting up my own money and recording a special for myself. May 18th. The link will be in my Instagram and I'll announce it soon. But it's a tiny, tiny, teeny room, so get tickets. I would love to have as many little mamas in there as possible, but I mean, total, it's only going to be like 200 tickets over three shows. So I really need you to buy tickets as soon as that link comes up. Watch Royal Crackers on Instagram. Buy our merch. That's cool. You know, buy our merch.
Buy the merch. You got to buy the merch. And yeah, come see us May 5th at the Comedy Store. We're doing a live show, 7 p.m. It's going to be amazing. A real great time if you live in Los Angeles or the greater Los Angeles area. Bring your ass. And if you live elsewhere and you want to make that trip, hey, that's on you, baby boo.
Come on. Low tickets, though, so get them.
Yeah, we're like coming down to the back half of them tickets, and they're moving quickly, so please buy your tickets. And as always, if you want to send us your own drops, your own conspiracy theories, if you want to tell us the origins of PP and the Coke, send it all to mymamapod@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Like, subscribe, do whatever bullshit the algorithm asked you to do. We love it. We need it. Bye, bitch.
Motherfucking mini episode. Mini episode. Motherfucking mini episode. Motherfucking mini episode. Mini episode. Motherfucking mini episode.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.